Italy struggling to process the rising number of undocumented migrants. The reception centre in Lampedusa is overwhelmed. Far-right politicians are capitalising on the situation. Could this decide the fate of September's snap election? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the programme. I'm Imran Khan. Undocumented migrants are once again at the centre of a political tussle in Italy. The Interior Ministry says more than 39,000 asylum seekers have arrived by boat this year. That's 10,000 more than in the same period in 2021. Most migrants and refugees trying to reach Europe undertake the perilous journey across the Mediterranean. The small Italian island of Lampedusa is one of the closest stops on the route from North Africa. Its reception centre can't handle the number of arrivals and is more than 500% over capacity. Far-right politicians have seized on the influx ahead of the snap election in September. Former Interior Minister Matteo Salvini, who's on trial for blocking boat arrivals in 2019, says Italy has failed to defend its borders. Natasha Ghanem now reports from Lampedusa.
The aquamarine waters of the Mediterranean, surrounded by craggy cliffs, keep luring tourists to these coves. However, vacationers aren't the reason this small Italian island has made headlines in recent years. In 2013, 368 migrants and refugees died when an overcrowded boat capsized near Lampedusa. It was one of the worst shipwrecks in modern European history. Francesco Barata's father was fishing with a friend when he heard cries for help. He rescued a dozen people and became a national hero.
The people who think all migrants are criminals don't understand what it means to suffer for something and forget that the Westerners have exploited the same Africa they came from.
After people protested, the days when asylum seekers arrived and roamed the narrow streets are long gone. Now their presence is invisible to most, prompting one woman to accuse our crew of spreading misinformation.
There is a problem. When the sea is very calm, like today, we see at least 1,500 people arriving each week. They're immediately transferred to Sicily or somewhere else. We don't see them on the island.
Yet the Migrant Welcome Center is overflowing.
The uptick in arrivals coincides with the collapse of Prime Minister Mario Draghi's coalition government. This month, he announced his resignation twice. Far-right and populist parties torpedo Draghi's government and are expected to prevail in snap elections on September 25th.
The Maggiore siblings come from one of the oldest families on Lampedusa. They make a living selling produce out of a truck in the city center.
We should vote for the far right and give them an opportunity to run the country before we say they are not good. Currently, migrants are coming here every day without any rules.
Barata hopes Italians won't allow far right and populist candidates to scapegoat migrants. Almost a decade later, his father has remained in contact with some of the people he rescued, and he says the sadness in their eyes remains. Natasha Ghanem, Al Jazeera, Lampedusa, Italy.
Let's bring in our guests, all joining us from Rome. Andrea De Petris is the scientific director at the Center for European Policy in Italy. Yambio David Oliver recently made the journey from Libya and is a spokesman for refugees in Libya, a non-profit organization. And Cecilia Emma Sotilotta is an assistant professor of international relations and global politics at the American University of Rome. Welcome to you all. I'd like to begin with Cecilia. If the far right in Italy are to be believed, then Italy is being overrun by migrants and it's in danger of becoming a failed state. Is that accurate?
I don't think it is. At the same time, I must say, political parties in Italy, as you just mentioned, are essentially preparing, have already started to campaign for the next election, which is going to take place in September. And migration is obviously set to be perhaps the most contested issues in the campaign. If we look at the program of one of the parties that is supposed, I mean, is expected to do better in terms of electoral results, that is Brothers of Italy, the far-right party led by Giorgia Meloni, we'll see that actually migration and Islamization, whatever that means, are linked and are presented as key challenges that this party is willing to tackle if, of course, it's going to win the election.
Also in Rome, Andrea De Petris, surely the far right do have a point. This is illegal immigration that they seem to be talking about. This is criminal gangs that are involved putting people onto the sea, putting their lives in danger, and we're watching people die as they try and make that journey. The far right do have a point, don't they?
Well, actually, not really, since according to international law, you cannot call an immigrant illegal as long as you didn't identify him or her. So basically, every country which signed international agreements, like Italy, are firstly obliged to let people come to the territory if they're trying to reach their territory, if the territory is the safest place and closest place they have to reach. And then afterwards, they firstly have to identify them and find out if they are legally or illegally trying to come into the country.
Well, let's bring in Yambio David Oliver. Yambio David Oliver is a migrant. He recently made the journey from Libya. Before we get into any questions, can you just explain to us and to our audience what your experience was? How did you get into Italy?
Well, I will start back as the previous speaker just mentioned that you cannot call a person, an immigrant, illegally until you have already done the procedures and able to interview and identify the person. So it reads back to my country in 2016 when I had to flee my country, South Sudan, and then fleeing all the way to the Northern Sudan to Chad. And I found myself in Libya because the given situation in the countries where I had to cross was not favoring. So I had to constantly migrate. And Libya has, of today, what I found upon my arrival in Libya was only nightmare, tortures, extortions made. And all this system was being funded by the European and Italian government. And when I tried to cross the sea, I was forcibly intercepted and pushed back to the Libyan detention centers. This only happened not once or twice. And with all this and the continuous experience of humiliation that I had to endure and seeing loved ones drowned at sea, my friends and the people that I loved, you know, they just got perished or they disappeared in these official and informal detention centers, all a system which is fully funded by the Italian government. Until last year, to be short, when I was living in a garage west of Tripoli when the authorities, the Libyan authorities and its militias, they came for us in the middle of the night with armored cars and heavy weapons. They arrested everybody violently, pregnant women, there were children and elderly disabled. They were not ready to identify who had the right to stay in Libya or who were asylum seekers, who were refugees. Because Grigorij was dominated and it was about 10,000 population of people living in that particular neighborhood. But this did not happen. They used violence and took people to inhuman detention centers, a well-known detention center, which is at Mabani, and many more informal detention centers, which created a mode of economic growth for these militias because they benefited from people from both parties from receiving money from Italy and from the people themselves. It was when we created a permanent garrison in front of the UNHCR headquarters in Tripoli. And of course, we went to the UNHCR headquarters trying to find protection, which they were not able to give us because they said they claimed that they had limited mandate to operate in Libya in a way that they could protect its asylum seekers and the refugees who are registered within the system in Tripoli. This went on. We had to protest because we were living and surviving barely by the sidewalk of Tripoli in front of the UNHCR headquarters. went on for three months.
We are running out. We are going to be running out of time, and I want to get to everybody. When did that come to an end? And when did you actually physically make the crossing into Rome, into Italy?
Yeah, I made the crossing into Italy on the 21st of June, and it was a very terrible journey because I was asking for regular routes to enter Rome, but I was denied access even by the Tribunal Court of Rome when I was still in Libya, being persecuted by the Libyan authorities and its militias for trying to speak about what was happening. So I had to hop on onto a dingy boat, which was unworthy for the sea journey. But luckily, I made it to Italy, still to be met with different challenges. Because, as he said before, we were being called illegal before we even landed into the Italian territory.
Andrea, you've heard David Yambio, David Oliver's story there. This is a failure of policy almost on every single level, surely. It just explains what those failures might be.
Well, actually, this is a quite a long story. Italy has been struggling with migration phenomenon for years now, so you cannot really call it a sort of emergency right now. If you have politicians trying to figure out a crisis, because that is actually more a political attempt for, you know, for campaign and so on, but it's not a surprise anymore. Political actors and parties failed through the years, this is true, in terms of failing to create a real integration policies for the migrants which arrived in Italy and were entitled to remain. We're talking of asylum seekers and people which obtain asylum afterwards. But then, once they obtain a permission to stay, they didn't find any occasion to really integrate in terms of, you know, education, work, facilities, whatever, which made, of course, difficult for these people to have a sort of normal life in Italy, which we are looking for, but it's not their fault. It's fault of the institutions, which did not provide proper policies through the years for that.
Cecilia, for too long now, governments have used migrants as a political tool, as a political weapon. Let's take Turkey, for example. It kept Syrian refugees until it couldn't keep them in their country anymore because they were furious with Europe, so they allowed them to cross into Europe. Greece has illegally detained people. Italy has illegally detained people. The UK is trying to use a third-party centre in Rwanda to try and process immigration requests. Now, why has this become such a European political issue, and why now?
So it is not really, I mean, it isn't surprising, right? Migration is, as we were saying before, I mean, a controversial issue. It's something that touches upon different aspects. We have the fear of invasion that are, of course, sort of a weapon used by populist parties. We have the economic sort of fears. We have these fears connected to a loss of identity or possible threat to identity. So I think it's not surprising that migration is contentious. What I find to be particularly disturbing is the number of double standards that we are witnessing right now. So, first of all, think about what happened with the weaponization of asylum seekers on the Polish border, which happened last winter. And then think about how, thankfully, Ukrainian refugees have been welcomed into Poland, right? So we see a double standard there. I think it's an European issue simply because Europe is a complex polity. And countries are affected by migration in different ways. And interestingly, the countries that are perhaps frontline countries, so Poland, but also Greece and Italy that you mentioned, are those that perhaps experienced or have been experiencing financial problems, for instance, right? Where you may remember the financial crisis that hit Greece and also Italy very seriously. So I think there's an issue, really, a core issue for the European Union. It's about policy, it's about coming up with policy solutions, but it's also about being true to its values. I think we are really seeing these exposed right now with the, I mean, with the resources that have been rightly deployed to help Ukrainian refugees. So it means that the resources are there, and we can set up systems to welcome people that are fleeing war scenarios, right? But it's a challenge, and it's a challenge that both EU institutions and member states are hesitant to take up because, again, it goes back to domestic politicization of migration. So just if I can just add, you know, we're talking about center-right parties instrumentalizing migration, but actually the policies, you know, the agreements, for instance, between the Italian government and the Libyan Coast Guard that essentially produce a number of appalling human rights abuses were put in place by a center-left government. So
it's across
the political spectrum. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
It's across the board. Well, let me bring in Yambia David Oliver here. Andrea, I will come to you in very quickly shortly, but Yambia, white Ukrainian refugees, they're the good refugees, they're the good migrants, they're the people that we should be helping, not black people like you. That's what the far right are saying. How do you feel about that?
Well, I feel completely dehumanized. I feel completely like being neglected, being denied even by the international community, because when we look at the period that the war started in Ukraine, we were still in the streets of Tripoli. We tried to approach the European Parliament. We tried to approach the Italian government to look into what was happening in Libya. And there was no response. People were, I mean, we find for us as a refugee, we find every day of a single person as a tragedy, not only in Ukraine, not only about a black person. We feel completely that we have no voice, but this is not anymore. We will continue to have a voice because we cannot continue to be silenced and to be denied in this way.
Andrea, how useful is it to have somebody like Yambia David Oliver, like to have an organisation like Refugees in Libya that gives a voice to those refugees? Is that voice being heard?
Well, this is a good point. Of course, it's very important to have organizations which are trying to describe the situation of people in Libya and actually in other countries, in all North Africa and even, you know, in under-Sahara countries. But this is not enough. We need to have more, so better channels to bring their voices into the political debate at national level in Italy and the European level as well. If I may give you one more element of discussion about the double standards between Ukrainian refugees and North African refugees. In Italy, on March 22nd, there were 61,000 people, refugees coming from Ukraine. You know how many people are in Lampedusa right now? 1,727 people, and we call this an emergency. So you see, we are dealing with very different figures, but the political debate is, for some reason, to put in this emergency in Lampedusa as the real crisis for the real danger for Europe and for Italy on one side. On the other side, we are really, and it's, of course it's correct to be there, to be right there, we are completely ready to welcome people from another part of Europe, even if the figures are so different. This is very important for me to put under stress for correctly find out and figure out what we are talking about.
I was about to bring those figures up. The UN have figures as well. They are in the 400s from coming to individual countries, but 1,700 people in Lampedusa, Sicilia. It isn't a huge amount of people, yet the value isn't the figures, is it? The value is the way the far right can use it as a political tool. It doesn't matter how many people there are.
Absolutely. And we knew this from the very beginning when, you know, when the government fell, lost the confidence of the parliament. We knew that this electoral campaign was going to be about migration. Well, not exclusively about that, but also about that. If I can add something more, something else to what the colleague was saying before, there's an ironic aspect to the migration debate in Italy, which is never brought up. Italy is a country that is experiencing a serious demographic crisis, which means that we actually need migrants. There's no way we can survive, and our welfare system can be supported in the coming years and decades unless we bring in migrants. But this is again a point that is never brought up. And the only way in which this problem, the demographic crisis, is framed is about birth rate. And it's about encouraging women to have kids, etc. But yes, so as you said, like it's not about the figures. If it were about the figures, we would actually probably be trying to integrate as many migrants as possible.
Let's talk about this idea of integration. I'll come to you, Andrea, first. You know, you've got to integrate these people. Yes, they get here from Libya. Yes, they are arriving like Yambu David Oliver is, but the systems aren't there to integrate them. Or are they, and are they just being abused?
Well, it's hard to say. The point is, if you compare the policies adopted by Italy in the last years with other countries, for instance, Germany, you will see that what we are trying to do in Germany is trying to help integration, even allowing people which were officially not allowed to remain in Germany to start, education courses for possible work activities afterwards. Because they think as long as you have these people there, it's better to try to educate them and give them a possible chance for integration, even if you don't know if these people are allowed to remain for years afterwards. But this is a very, I would say, very practical approach to the thing. If you remain to the ideological idea approach that, people coming from North Africa are potential criminals, we do not want to integrate, we want to change the society, we want to, to change the our cultural roots, whatever, you will never grow up from this point. And you will still remain the same kind of a vision in the political debate, in the political opinion, that migrants from Africa are a danger. But they are not. As our colleague said, we will need people from the rest of the world, not only from North Africa, because we have a very strong need for occupation. The European Union understood that. In the last months, they issued an official communication saying that the European Union should support immigration from abroad, because the whole European Union, the 27 member states, will need people for work, for activities, for education, whatever, in the nursery and hospital care. We need a lot of these people. And we know that we will not be able to cover all these occupation cities with the national, so it's a matter of interest for European countries first to try to integrate these people.
Cecilia, just quickly, because we are running out of time, you did touch upon this earlier. No one is hearing the argument in Italy, are they? No one is hearing the argument that we need refugees. It's too political.
No one. It's too political, but you know what's interesting, for instance, just a couple of days ago, it was kind of surprising, but again, not surprising. For the first time ever, the leader of, the leader of the Democratic Party, that is the center-left party running currently for this upcoming election, mentioned the fact that the party is not going to renew its support to the mission that Italy launched to cooperate with the Libyan Coast Guard, right? And it was like he announced it on Twitter, and it was kind of surprising in a sense, because they've been very quiet. They were expected to be more vocal about human rights, and less vocal about the threat of migration. But in fact, the center-to-left party was in a sense, repressive in many ways as center-to-right parties. So this is like an interesting development. So they're not really saying we need to protect human rights. They're not saying this openly because, again, it's not very popular at this point as a view. And they would be attacked by the right, of course, immediately. But they kind of change their positioning on the issue a little bit.
I want to thank all our guests, Andrea De Petris, Yambio David Oliver and Cecilia Emma Sottilotta. And I want to thank you too for watching. You can see the programme again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And you can also join the conversation on Twitter. We are at AJInsideStory. From me, Imran Khan, and the whole team here, bye for now.